Here's what it says in the very first verse of this great general of faith. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, and said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses.'" Father, thank you. Eternal truth is ours today. We receive it. Illuminate it to us. Transformational is our goal, in that we become better at serving you than we have in the past. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our promised land is not what Israel was looking to enter, because they had one set of promises to go to. We have another. Our promised land is the promises of God that he's made to us. I don't know what you're believing for. Maybe it's healing for your body. That is your promised land. Perhaps in your life, it's a new career, an opportunity to do things you've never done before. That is your promised land if God's given you that dream. And perhaps it's a marriage that solidifies and gets better and grows closer. That's your promised land. Whatever you are believing God for, you can get out of the wilderness. Whatever you're believing God for, you can exit out of where you've been for the last period of season of your life and go over and receive it. You can cross the river of doubt and unbelief and step into the promises that God has made for you. So look at the passage. "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." I could say it another way. In other words, it already is. In other words, it belongs to you. If God promised it to you, and you know that he did, then it's already yours. You see, after you receive it, and then you thank and shout and praise God for it, that's nothing but gratitude. And some people don't even do that after God's answered their prayer. But when you start thanking God now on this side of the promise, that is faith. That's saying to God, "I'm trusting you. You made a promise. You're going to keep it." And it already is. So you leave the wilderness behind you. You go on into the promises of God, and you quit looking back to the place where Moses died. Go on into the promise and know, God made me a promise. It already is. It's already done. "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." Stand on that. "I will not fail you." And God said, "I've been with Moses. Joshua, I'm going to be with you. So be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." And he said, "Be strong in me. Be strong in my word. And know that I'll give you everything I promised. This book of the law, God's word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then," he said, "you will make your way," what? "Prosperous, and then you will have," what? "Success." So I'm speaking to you, and again, they're tied to one another. You have one, you have the other. Don't have the one, you're going to have a struggle trying to get to this one. So I want to talk about not growing weary in your crisis. There's no question life can be very difficult. We can have seasons that are traumatic. No question life can have some unexpected turns. You can have all your life planned out, and all of a sudden everything gets turned, flipped upside down. People you love and think they'll be with me for the rest of my life walk away. People that will leave you you thought would never leave you. Family members can lose their minds and do things you never thought they would ever do. You can have your finances all planned out, and the enemy loves to kill, steal, and destroy, and the bottom falls out, and you find yourself in a financial crisis. You've made an investment. You've done it in good faith. Everything was in place. You were on the right path, and all of a sudden, it collapsed. And maybe you get 20 cents on a dollar. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when the bottom falls out? What do you do when everything leaves you in a place of devastation and crisis? What do you do when your dreams seem to evaporate that you've held on to and trusted God for? You need to stop and remind yourself just a minute. I've been in the wilderness, but I'm on my way to the promises of God. Tell somebody, I am on my way. Amen? So what do you do when your children have disappointed you? What do you do when something happens and they go sideways? What do you do when you're in despair and you're traveling along Heartbreak Highway? Anybody ever been there? And you have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can't turn to the left because there's an adversary here. You can't turn to the right because there's another army over on this side. And you got a bunch of them staring you down face to face. You have to lock your eyes on the Lord and keep walking with him. Now, anytime you fall into sin, you can bet on this. Trouble will have an impact on your life. It will just continue to multiply and come your way. Some of the disappointments that you've had in life, make no mistake about it, some of those disappointments are the result of your sin. Well, can he just get me off the hook? Mm-hmm. Does he forgive? Absolutely. Is he willing? Absolutely. He wants to do that for anyone who has sinned. But there are consequences involved in sin. Some disappointments, on the flip side, take you totally by surprise. Adam and Eve have everything. They had authority over every living creature, but in their foolishness, they lost everything they had. Moses disobeyed the Lord. God said, go to the rock and speak to the rock. The people were thirsty, and I'll bring water out of the rock. What did Moses do? He was angry. He was upset with their lack of faith and complaining, and he allowed his temper to get away from him, and he struck the rock with that rod in anger. And God said, I will not let you go into the promised land because you did not do what I told you to do. Really? Really. That's how closely tied this all is together. When I don't do what God tells me to do, there's consequence. What has God told you to do that you haven't done? That's why you haven't acquired your promise yet. God has already told you something to do. Remember what he told Joshua? You do everything I tell you to do. Then your way will get prosperous and you'll have success. Okay? And all you have to do is obey what he commands. And you get to go into your promises. You can't live your life any way you want to and expect God's just going to wink at you and go, oh, nice little kid. He will love you, but he can't bless you when you keep disobeying him. Have you ever said, God, I don't understand why you let this happen to me? Anybody ever make that? I have. And I've not been in sin, or I'm tithing, and yet things haven't worked out, and I'm going, what's up with this? My neighbor is living like the devil and getting blessed. Why aren't you blessing me? Anybody understand that? Ever been in a place where you're doing everything you know to do, and no matter how hard you've tried, it just didn't seem to work out? That's sometimes part of the problem. It's how hard I'm trying. This attitude of, God, I've got this. I can handle this. Just relax, God. I'm holding it all together. No, he's holding me all together. I'm not holding him together. He's never had a problem getting held together. So I'm speaking about the fact that you are living for God, faithful to your spouse, paying your tithes, committed to the Lord, conscientiously not doing anything to violate the principles of his word. But in the middle of all that, you're struggling. You're having a difficult time. It's not been pleasant. And things aren't seeming to work out. Anybody ever been there? You were trusting God in a court case. The judge believed your enemies instead of you. And been in a place where the enemy seems to be gaining ground while you're losing ground. And the harder you tried, the worse it got. That's when you go back and you open God's word. Because there's some things I need to learn before I go out there trying to fix this on my own. Don't allow it to depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Get like Daniel 3 times a day. And everybody can do this five minutes 3 times a day. Get alone with God and let him speak to you from his word. And he will direct your path. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Do all that God told you to do and trust him. You will make your way prosperous, favored of the Lord. You know the story of Esau, the eldest son in Isaac's house. Firstborn, trusted with the family's inheritance. Hardworking guy. But through the deception of his younger brother, Jacob, he lost that inheritance. And Esau was conned out of his birthright, part of which he let his appetite get the best of him. And he sold it. sold his birthright. And the next day when he woke up, his world had collapsed. Have you ever gone along in life and everything's beautiful and looks good, and then the enemy just, bam, the family was fine, the threat came out of nowhere. Anybody ever been there? Esau was the son designated to be the one in charge of the family's upcoming inheritance. And through underhanded dealings and trickery, he ends up with less than, next to nothing, and less than the inheritance God would have had for him. Life was unfair. Make no mistake, no one goes through this life without disappointment. No one goes through life without injustice, one way or another. It's in the times of injustice that you find out what you really believe. It's in the time of injustice you discover in whom you believe. It's in times of injustice you find out just how strong your faith in the Lord really is. Life will bring disappointments. Life can get filled up with sorrows, but there's an appointed time to live and an appointed time to pass. But with God, the death of one thing is merely the beginning of something new and a new season. So God says to Moses, you cannot enter in. You're going to have to remain behind. God didn't discard him. He took him to heaven. He appears with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But remember, God so loved Moses, in spite of his disobedience, that God personally took his body and personally buried it where no one could ever find it. God did that for his servant Moses. The word says the children of Israel began to cry because their leader was gone, disappointed. And no matter what dies in your life, make up your mind, I'm going forward with the Lord. Your situation will change if you move on. I don't know what you've lost, but I know that disappointments that come to us leave us disillusioned at times. And I know if you'll leave it behind and step forward, as long as you remain where you are, however, nothing is going to change in your life. If they would have remained there, they would have never inherited the promised land. I'm going to move forward from here. Because it is really a faith in God issue, isn't it? I've got to demonstrate that. I have to have faith to move forward. And I have faith to cross the Jordan. I have faith God has something bigger and better, something new. Say, new thing. New thing. So what do you do when you receive a bad report from your doctor? What do you do when you discover you're broke and didn't even know you were broke? What do you do when he or she walks out? What do you do when you're pink slipped? What do you do when your life crashes on the rocks and now you find yourself in 1,000 pieces? What do you do when someone you love tells you, I don't love you? What do you do when everything you believed in has failed you? What do you do when you're in a crisis and it looks like you won't make it? You need to pray and believe God for a breakthrough when you face a crisis, because a crisis means there is nothing you humanly can do to fix it. And you have to come to the place in God where you're humble enough to say, I can't fix this. I need you to fix it. You're in a storm. Looks like you're going down for the last time. No matter who we are, we will all experience our Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place you go to pray. And storms and crises will force you to your knees, as it did the whole nation of Israel when 3 armies now triangulated around the nation of Israel with one intent, to destroy them. And the whole nation fell on their faces and on their knees before God, and they sought his face. I'm praying we'll see a day when America does that, because we're facing crisis in our culture, and no human being is going to fix this. It's going to take us falling on our faces before the Lord. It's a place to pray. Gethsemane is the place where the crushing of the olives takes place. And the olive has to be crushed to bring out the flavorsome oil. And the olive will say to you, that flavorsome first press virgin olive oil that you so enjoy cost me crushing. And whether you like it or not, we go to the place of prayer. We go to the place of crushing. We will lay everything on that altar before God. We go to Gethsemane, and you learn to trust in him, and not in what we can do in our controlling abilities. We learn to walk by faith and not circumstances, nor do we respond and react just to the crisis we face in the moment. You can stop the pain when you move forward in the Lord. And if you hear nothing else, hear this. As long as you keep falling back and falling back in retreat and hanging on to the things that have hurt you and damaged you in your past, as long as you remain in that pain, as long as you keep living back there, you don't know what God's told you, you forget the promises he's made to you, the remedy for all of that is you move forward in the Lord. As long as you remain in past pain, you'll remain stuck in your hurt. So let me tell you, you'll still have memories of the past and of those moments that were unpleasant. But over time, the pain will subside if you'll move forward. Tell your neighbor, it's time to move forward. Amen? Life is a series of leaving things behind and moving on. Life does not remain the same. You know, you get angry at your spouse because he or she has changed. If you don't change, if you refuse to change in that relationship, you're going to live the rest of your life in a rut. We all have to be changing. That's the process the Holy Spirit has all of us in. The Christian life is a series of changes, becoming more like Jesus. Now, some friends in that process will be left behind. A loved one may pass on that journey. No one goes through this life without journeying for a period in a season on a lonely road. That's where you learn to trust the Lord. That's where you learn your dependency is in him. Whatever's died in your life, you got to move forward. If your finances have collapsed, what do? You move forward in the Lord. If your career has died, you keep moving forward in the Lord. If a relationship has been broken, cut it loose. Move forward. And the word says that God's ways are higher than ours. He allows a breaking in our lives before he takes us higher. Now, it seems as though he allows storms to come into our lives before there's a breakthrough. As we get ready for crisis, and we step into the crisis that sometimes we created or sometimes just came, before we ever see daylight, there's going to be a storm. There's going to be difficulty. Anytime a crisis comes into your life, it's a sign something is about to change. The death of one thing is a sign of the beginning of something new with God. So the devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. The enemy comes to bring crisis into your life in order to pin you to the ground, paralyze you, and stop you. But Jesus came to bring you life. So make no mistake. The enemy fights the hardest just before there is a breakthrough. Every time. So if you're in a crisis today, it means you're going somewhere in your life. When trouble starts, start looking up at the Lord. Don't get frustrated with God. Just know somehow he's going to work it for your good. You may sow in tears, you will reap in joy. Let me remind you, you have to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight just feeds your emotions, feeds your fears, feeds negativity over what you're in the middle of. If you're going to walk with the Lord, you can't go by the negative stuff that's happening all around you in your life. But Pastor, I don't understand why this has happened to me. And that's the kind of prayer we pray. No, this is happening to me. Because it's all about me. Me, me, me. Now, it's not only about me. There's a lot of other people involved, not just me. So stuff happens all the time I don't understand. But the truth is, genuine faith has to always face unanswered questions. Real faith undergoes challenges. It will be tested. God will allow it to be tested. Genuine faith will have to trust God in spite of what you see. You have to make up your mind, I will outlast this crisis. Though weary in well-doing, I will not quit. I will see my promised land. And not just see it from on the other side of the river, I will get to live in my promised land. Tell your neighbor, I will outlast this crisis. So if you're serving the Lord, you have to believe your steps are being ordered by the Lord. If you're serving him, you don't have to like where you are walking. Just believe your steps are ordered by God. There's a reason I'm going through this. You can be going through life and everything looks beautiful and wonderful. Just know life can pivot on a dime. You didn't plan it. You thought you had everything covered. And even when it feels like your feet are unstable because the rug's coming out from under you, remember to just keep your focus on him. even when your feet are unstable. God, you are God all by yourself. You don't need me. You don't need anything. You are self-sufficient, and I'm trusting you. I don't understand why I am where I am. And everything's just coming apart, but I'm still believing you. I'm holding on to you. My faith will not let me go. I have planted myself in your truth. Say, this crisis has an expiration date. So in serving the Lord, you've got to believe he's working a plan. It's not about you in the moment. And when something happens, you have to believe God has something already planned. He's seen the circumstance. He already has the answer. Solution has already been taken care of. He just didn't get up this morning and trying to figure it out for the first time. He's got your entire life plan. When people are hospitalized, sometimes they're hooked up to a heart monitor. And the monitor shows the peaks and the valleys of the heartbeat and rhythm. There's no danger as long as the lines keep going up and down. There's real danger when the line is flat. Because when the line goes flat, you are dead. Okay? You might not like living in the ups and downs of everyday life and the crisis you are in, of the up and down motion and that what it makes you feel like from one day, but you're still in the game. You're still alive. You're still here. The devil said you're not going to make it, but look at you. You're still here. And the peaks and the valleys say you are doing something. You are still breathing and kicking. They say at least you've got one more day to live for him. David was a man after God's own heart. But God said, because of the things that you put yourself into, or you're not going to be the one who gets to build that glorious, fantastic temple. I'll let you gather all the parts and pieces and everything, but no, you're not going to be the one who presides there. Life can be disappointing at times. You think God's about to do something, and he doesn't do what you thought he was going to do in the time frame that you believed he would. It can disappoint you, but his delays are not denials. You've got to make up your mind, I will outlast this crisis. I will not allow weariness in doing good to cause me to quit and give up. This storm will end. Whatever it is, it will pass. Wait for the timing of God. Sometimes in this life, there are moments when all we can do is cry. And the word said, Esau cried and cried over his lost inheritance. Job cried over losing everything he possessed, including family. David cried until he had no more tears when his family was abducted and all of his warriors' families were abducted. No matter who we are, we have to continually trust in the Lord. My fight is the fight of faith. That's the fight you're in. The enemy sends the crisis to destroy your trust in God. But now I have an opportunity to stand on God's word. I have an opportunity to fight for my faith. I must outlast this crisis. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Just because I love the Lord does not mean I will not be tested. Injustices come our way. But in times of injustice, we have to lean on the Lord, not on people. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. And now every storm we go through is a test to see what we believe. Some people will stay up all night long worrying about their problems. They can't rest because they just simply can't trust God to fight their battles for them. But I read somewhere that the Lord is my keeper, and he never slumbers and he never sleeps. And since he never sleeps or even dozes off, there's no sense in both of us staying up all night worrying about this. I think I'll just go to bed, leave it in his hands, and he'll take care of it. Because that's the kind of God I serve. I made up my mind to put my hand in the firm hand of the Lord. No matter what I face, he's got me. I don't have him. He has me. My hand is not enough. But when I put my hand in his hand, I've got strength in my life. And if you want to know that God's really getting ready to use somebody, look for somebody who's in a crisis. Because God's fixing to do something great in their life. If you want to know God's getting ready to bless somebody, look for somebody who's in a crisis. Find that person. Because just about the time it looks like all is lost, find that person. Listen to me, no matter what you're facing today, if God be for me, who can be against me? Because the crisis will end. The enemy sends the crisis to steal your peace. And as long as you hold on to that peace, you'll outlast the crisis. Hang on to your peace. When the enemy attacks after a victory, and he loves attacking as soon as you have achieved some goal. When Jehoshaphat had brought national revival to all of Israel, after decades of idol worship and decades of not serving God, and he restored the nation to God, and they had repented, and God poured out his spirit, and there was a national renewal of the whole nation of Israel, and they were rejoicing. The scripture says in 1 Chronicles 20, in the first start of that verse, after that, after the revival, three armies gathered together to come and destroy the nation of Israel. And word reaches Jehoshaphat. After this great, miraculous intervention of God, here come three enemies ready to kill every Israeli they can get their hands on. Listen, when the enemy attacks after a victory, when the enemy threatens your destruction, God's seeking to draw you closer to himself. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so what do? I focus on God. That's what Jehoshaphat did, not on the crisis. Because the crisis, you could do this mathematically. We're going to lose this. We can't engage this kind of an enemy. We can't. We're outnumbered. But I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm focused on him. God, well, how would I focus on him? His greatness, all-powerful, unlimited, his promises. He made promises to us. Has he made promises to you? You stand on those promises. Ask for a breakthrough, something you can't achieve on your own. You're saying, I can't do this. I need you to do this. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. And then listen to what God says. Don't go flapping your gums at God for 5 minutes straight. Just shut up and let God speak to you because he has something to say. Prayer is not a monologue. It is a conversation. Amen? And then relax once God's spoken to you. Don't be afraid. He'll say to you, it's my battle, not yours. Relax. And then keep serving in the position God's assigned you to. Notice that in the middle of this crisis in the nation of Israel, they didn't all do what some church people do. Well, you know, I got this little problem, and I don't know if I can be there tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be able to help you because right now I'm dealing with... No, they all stood in their positions and did not budge. They said, we will continue doing what God asked us to do, even though our lives are on the line and there's a crisis swirling all around us. God will honor that every single time. And then wait and watch what God does, thanking him in advance that he's going to keep the word he promised to you. Are you listening? Here's the problem. When trouble comes, the tendency is we run away from God. We abandon our post. I'm not going to serve because I got stuff going on in my life. The tendency is to get angry with God. The tendency is to say, I can handle this myself. I'll stop serving the Lord so I can go handle this myself, is what we're saying to God. And God's looking at you and going, you want to handle this yourself? Have at it. Keep serving me, I'll handle your problem. That's the kingdom of God's perspective. You have to make up your mind to outlast the crisis, not grow weary, not quit. God says, I know you've got a crisis. I'm not surprised, because we spend the whole 5 minutes of our prayer time just telling God how bad the crisis is. He knows you've got a crisis. You don't have to tell him, God, I have a crisis. Now, what's your plan, God? Grow weary. Don't quit. You may cry about it, yeah, because that's a natural emotional reaction. It's okay, because you have a disappointment. It's okay to cry, because someone you loved is gone. It's okay to experience fear, because loss is being threatened. It's okay to panic, because this thing hit you out of nowhere. But God said to Israel, and he says it to us, it's been over 30 days now, dry your tears, get up from where you are, don't allow life to cause you to drop out, outlast your crisis. So Moses has died. The people are grieving. God says, stop your mourning. I've got new plans for you. I've got plans. We got to go get them fulfilled. And as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Touch somebody and say, God was with Moses. He's going to be with you. Tell him he's going to be with you. And if you're going through a dark time in your life, get God's truth in your spirit. Stand on it. It's mighty. It's powerful. The word of God stands forever. People will come and go. God's word stands forever. Finances come and go. God's word stands forever. Relationships come and go. God's word stands forever. God doesn't want you bogged down in the past. He doesn't want you to dwell on the things you've lost. He wants you to go ahead and follow his plans. Say his plans. He wants you to bleed no matter who walks out of your life or who walks into your life. He is all you need to succeed. And God begins to speak to Joshua about crossing the Jordan and reminds him, it's my word you've got to listen to. Start believing God to go cross over to your promises. These are the things you said to me. And God loves it when you remind him of his promises. He loves it. God, this is what you told me. And here's the chapter and the verse. And he doesn't have to write it in the sky. Give me a sign, Lord. Give me a sign. No, just open this book. He'll give you a verse. Because he's already spoken. All right? He's given you his word. And then remind him, this is what you said. You proclaim by faith. By your stripes, you said, I am healed. This condition in my body is not going to remain. You're going to get proper nutrition, do the things you can do, proper rest, proper exercise, good medical care. You do all you know to do, but then you proclaim, the healing comes by the stripes of your son. By faith in God, I proclaim, I will get out of this debt mess I'm in, and here's how I'm going to do it. You've already given me a sign. It's in your word. I will put you first. I will start bringing you the tithe. You will open the windows of heaven. That's your promise, and I will come out of debt. I will cross over to my promise. Everything you're facing right now is about preparing yourself for the promises of God. And he says, it's already yours. If your life is broken, the psychics can't fix it. The astrologers are only being led by demonic influences. Stay away from that stuff, God told Daniel and God told his people. The shrink has a few answers, but not all the answers. You need to go to the one who originally made you. God can fix the issues. So what do you do when everything in your life gets turned upside down? What do you do when you had it all figured out and then, bam, you get slapped? What do you do when the lights go out and you can't see anything but darkness around you? You make up your mind, I'm outlasting this crisis. It will leave. I will stay. And I will not allow weariness to cause me to quit. There was an animal trainer. He used to perform in large circuses, which pretty much now are just about gone. And he trained tigers for years and did an act in the circus that traveled. One night, well, in the middle of a performance under the big top, traveling with the circus, all the power went out. PG&E. It's all went off. Bam, everything's out. The trainer was all alone in the cage with a dozen tigers. Pitch black under that tent. There wasn't a light anywhere. It was so dark, he said, I couldn't see the tigers in the cage under the top of the tent. He says, and I've been around them almost all my career in life, and I knew they have night vision. They can see me in the dark. 12 of them are looking at me. And after 30 seconds, the power was restored. Thank God for fast action, right? 30 seconds can seem like a lifetime if you're in a cage with 12 tigers. Okay. Yeah. Kind of like Daniel in the lion's den. And tigers, you know, the tigers were there and everything was finished, the performance was over. And he steps out, and there's a reporter waiting for him as he's exiting the tent. And he said to the trainer, were you frightened when all the lights went out and you were stuck in there with 12 tigers? And he said, yeah, I was scared because I knew the tigers could see me. They knew exactly where I was, but I couldn't see them. So what I did is I kept speaking with authority, and I kept cracking the whip. He said, I made up my mind to keep cracking the whip and speaking with authority to those tigers because they didn't know I couldn't see them. I can speak with authority, and I can crack the whip. All of us in the dark can do that. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I'm in a crisis. I can't see anything in front of me, but I'm going to come out of this thing. If God's on my side, it doesn't matter who's against me. Say, weariness will not stop me. Paul's on a ship on his way to Rome. They sail into a hurricane, and the ship breaks into 1,000 pieces, literally. But Paul had a promise, and the Lord had spoken to him, if you will do the following things, the ship will be lost, but there will be no loss of life. And Paul did exactly what he was told to do. And as the ship breaks apart in the ocean, the Mediterranean, he grabs a piece of the ship's debris and he swims to shore safely, as did all the other travelers. Paul was in a crisis. If you're in the middle of a storm and your ship has cracked into all kinds of pieces, even if it's in pitch black, you reach over beside you. There's a piece of wood floating right beside you right now. It's called an old rugged cross. And if you'll grab hold of who that piece of wood represents, you're going to make it safely to the shore. You'll find safety in the middle of a hurricane. Circumstances ambushed you. Make up your mind, I will outlast this thing. And it won't be long, you're going to be able to look back and see how far God has brought you. Oh my goodness, look at this. You'll hold on to your pain, and you'll land back there in your pain. No, you make up your mind, I'm going to keep moving forward. Yes, there was pain that came in those moments. Yes, it was tough. Yeah, it hurt. Yeah, it was horrible. And sometimes that makes it difficult to move forward. Because moving forward means change. Got to let go of this. You might feel guilty because you did something. You got attacked. Bam, everything fell apart. And the enemy is accusing you. But get involved in serving others. That's the mediation that enables you to move forward and to leave the past and accusations and failures behind you. Paul put it like this, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. See, you don't have to know how it's all going to end. Just know, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you out of them all. God knows the end from the beginning. He goes all the way to the end of your life, then he tracks it all the way to the beginning. He's got every single step planned. Wow. You have enough trust to believe that the battle's not yours, it's his. Then you put your hand in his, and he hung the world on nothing. He can sustain you. So either you get to go into your promised land now, and you recognize that when you step on the other side of that Jordan, you are a giant killer. Stand to your feet. You are more than a conqueror. God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So thank him. The promises of God to that person who believes are yes, and in him, amen. Thank the Lord.